This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Call it a diplomatic breakthrough or a sporting one, maybe a bit of both. But after days of talks, North and South Korea have agreed that both their athletes will march together at the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics under a unified flag. They will also field a joint women's ice hockey team for the Winter Olympics, which begin early next month in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Let's discuss it with NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. Tom, welcome to 1A.
Nice to be here, Joshua. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm a little shocked, but I'm wondering how shocked I should be at this. Are you as surprised as I think I and a lot of other people are by this news?
Well, I think the only shock is because of what has preceded this agreement. Of course, we've all known and all been kind of cowering to different degrees because of what's been going on with, the bellicose statements and actions coming out of both North Korea and Washington, D.C. But, it's important to note that they marched jointly, North Korea and South Korea marched jointly in the Olympics in 2000, 2004, 2006 under a unified flag, although they did compete separately. So there is precedent for this, but as I say, those times I don't believe were as fraught as right now is.
There was a document, a joint statement by North and South Korea that came out from the Unification Ministry in South Korea that kind of detailed what this collaboration exactly entails. Can you walk us through a few of the other major points of their joint presence in the Olympics?
Yeah, sure. Another important thing, it's kind of down the list on the on this joint statement, but the North will also send a 150-person delegation to the Paralympics, including representatives and athletes, the cheering squad, an art troupe, and journalists. And let's, Joshua, talk a little bit more about the cheering squad. This is the 230-member so-called Army of Beauties. This will be going to both the Olympics and the Paralympics. And this is North Korea's all female cheerleading troupe. The women are all in their late teens or early 20s. They're hand-picked from elite universities, and they apparently undergo very strict background checks to ensure they are not related to defectors. So this is kind of the cream of the crop. It's North Korea's effort to, kind of put out a very polished and, as they say, a very beautiful group of young women to kind of counter the perceptions of North Korea as a backward country, economically backward, with all its citizens suffering from malnutrition. Of course, there are a lot of documented cases that is in fact the case, but they're putting their best foot forward with the cheer squad. And frankly, I think people are looking forward more to seeing the cheer squad than perhaps the North Korean athletes, because North Korean athletes are not expected to do real well. North Korea has won 56 medals in its Olympic history, only two of those at the Winter Games.
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether or not they were any good at winter sports, what we were expecting, and for that matter, which players we were expecting to actually be allowed to compete in which sports. I mean, the players, I believe the International Olympic Committee has some say in who actually gets to play, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and this, there was the joint statement released today, but the real meat of this will be decided this Saturday when the IOC meets with representatives of both National Olympic Committees of North and South Korea, and that's where they'll hammer out, as you say, who are the athletes going, how many will be going, because all the deadlines have expired for qualification. There are only two Olympic athletes who've qualified. This is a pairs figure skating team from North Korea, and everyone else has to be let in. As you mentioned earlier, there will be this joint women's hockey team, but then the IOC has to decide who else to let in, and they have to be a bit careful in how they do this. They can't just say, oh, everyone come on in, the olive branch, and, right, and let's let everyone in, because there are other countries who have abided by the rules and have not qualified for Olympic competition, and if the IOC were to let in a bunch of North Korean athletes, those other countries would go, hey, wait, what about me? And pretty soon, Joshua, we would have an international incident, and we don't want that.
We are speaking to NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman about North and South Korea marching into the Winter Olympics together next month. We're only speaking with Tom for this first segment before we move on, so if you do have questions or thoughts, send them in right away, 1A@WAMU.org. Comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. Tom, it's been postulated, hypothesized a lot over the last few weeks, the impact that some kind of joint participation in the Olympics might have on the larger concerns about Kim Jong-un's nuclear ambitions, about the rhetoric between Kim and President Trump. I wonder, as this joint delegation is shaking out, how much that appears to be real or not. I mean, is it possible that there will be some crossover effects and beneficial effect, or should we be viewing this from a more strictly sporting Olympic perspective?
I think both. I think you always have to have hope. And, you know, this is better than nothing. This is better than going into the games with Kim Jong-un continuing to fire ballistic missiles over Korea or wherever he's firing them. But I also think we have to take this a step at a time. Let's see what happens, how this all works out. You know, it's interesting. They're sending a delegation. North Korea is going to send a delegation of journalists, and it will be very interesting to see what they cover, you know, how much freedom they're given to talk to other journalists. I know that now we all who are going to cover the games are going to try and be seeking out North Korean journalists and members of the North Korean team to see, you know, okay, what's it really like? What's going on? What do you think will happen? But I think, and I hate to do this because we always hate to say time will tell or it remains to be seen, but that's the case. We really have to see. I guess what I would say is it can't hurt, you know, and this is a good first step. It may end up only being a first step, but that's what we know right now.
How much does this joint delegation help ensure the safety of the Winter Olympics? Does this ensure, for example, that there won't be any North Korean missile tests during the games?
Yeah, I think you could probably assume that. I think, you know, before this happened, before this joint agreement was announced, we were all being briefed on security measures and so on. South Korea is an incredibly safe place, if you disregard the fact that North Korean nuclear weapons are pointed at South Korea. But on a day-to-day basis, you know, as far as street crime, as far as the things that will affect us as visitors, there's a lot of safety and security from what we've been told from security experts. But yeah, I think you raised an interesting point. I think Kim Jong-un would be perhaps hesitant to stir the waters now that representatives of his country will be there.
Kind of speaks to the hope that Aaron expressed. Aaron wrote on our website, the1a.org, I think this is good if it minimizes the chances that North Korea would try an attack during the Olympics. Tom,
sure.
What
we hope, yeah, I'm sorry. And what we hope, obviously, is that, you know, it minimizes chances beyond the Olympics. But as I said, that we'll have to see.
Do you get the sense that people are excited about these Winter Olympic Games? Personally, I've never been to the Olympics. I am dying to go to the Olympic Games one day. I just think it would be awesome. But with South Korea and North Korea, frankly, in the United States, being in this kind of geopolitical game of chicken that seems to be going on right now, I wonder if maybe people are a little less fired up about these Winter Games than maybe they were about Sochi or previous games. Or if folks are even more eager to go, like, well, heck, now I really want to go see what happens.
I think the former actually has been the case, Joshua, that ticket sales have lagged, and I think a lot of it was the situation on the Korean Peninsula, and that people would be going, now, why exactly do I want to spend thousands of miles to go there? But then you have to consider what's happened in the last couple of weeks, and I haven't checked recent ticket sales, but as we just discussed, I think this makes it a safer proposition, a more interesting proposition if you're a visitor, and perhaps you'll have a chance encounter with someone from North Korea. So I'm thinking that this actually will help the effort because things have been lagging up to now.
Two more quick questions before we got to let you go. YG Afro tweeted, is this unification for the Winter Games all for show, or is this the right step toward diplomacy between the two for the future?
You know, that's for a geopolitical expert and not a sports correspondent. But I think a little bit of both. I think it's an important show. I think North Korea didn't want to be left out of the Olympics as the world focuses attention on South Korea. So I think they want to get in on the game a bit as much as they can. Yeah.
David writes, I'm also shocked about the joint walk-in, but I'm pleased to see the cooperation between North and South. Maybe a small step, but all journeys start with a single step. Tom, before we let you go, who else is the world excited about at the Winter Olympics these days? Certainly North and South Korea to see what happens there, but what's the other big story we're waiting for at the Winter Olympics that we should be paying attention to briefly before we let you
there
go?
There are lots of stories. I'm personally interested in hockey. Is always a big deal at the Winter Olympics, and this year, as you may or may not know, the National Hockey League is not supplying players. So it's going to be a much more interesting competition, a much more interesting tournament there. Always the biggies. Figure skating will have a lot of drama, of course, and the American men's competitor, Nathan Chen, has a great chance at a medal, maybe even a gold medal. Alpine skiing is always exciting. Just, you can go down the line. We will, Joshua, generate excitement every day. This will be my 12th Olympics, and I know full well that every day at the Olympics is an entirely new drama. So we can't even predict what's going to happen for those 17 days after the torch is lit.
That's NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman heading over to South Korea next month to cover the Winter Olympic Games. Tom, thanks for talking to us.
You're welcome. Fun to be here.
We will shift gears momentarily and convene our latest meeting of the 1A Movie Club and review the film Saturday Church. If you saw the movie, what did you think? On a scale of 1 to 5 stars, how many would you give it and why? Email us, 1a@wamu.org. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.